Well, let me invite you to turn to this passage in Revelation chapter 20. Let me begin tonight just by reading four comments, actually, from a variety of sources regarding this particular chapter. The ESV Study Bible says these verses are amongst the most controversial in Revelation. Derek Thomas, one of the commentators that I use, says simply, "No passage has highlighted in greater relief the differences between the various schools of millennial interpretation." The passage is then something of a cause celebre. It's a famous passage. Another commentator, Leon Morris, says this: "This brings us to one of the most difficult parts of the entire book. There have been endless disputes, some of them very bitter, over the way to understand this chapter. Evangelicals have divided from one another and sometimes have been quite intolerant of views other than those of their own group. It is necessary to approach the chapter with humility and with charity." And Bruce Millen, in his helpful little book, Know the Truth, says concerning this subject of the 1,000 years or the millennium, "This is one of the most hotly debated issues in the whole field of the end times." And here we are at the end of a busy day, and some of you are thinking, well, you could have chosen a better time to approach such a subject, but anyway, that's out of my control. Tonight, basically, we are looking at a chapter, and by the way, we'll not be looking at all this chapter at all. There's enough in this chapter to keep one going for quite a while. And God willing, we will return to it next Sunday night, and who knows, maybe the following Sunday night. But if you've got your Bible, and just look at what it says at the start of chapter 20. "I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And those words, 1,000 years, that is the very crux of what has been this hotly debated passage. What is the 1,000 years? When are the 1,000 years? Etc., etc. The Latin word for 1,000 is mille, M-I-L-L-E, and it's from that word that we get our word millennium. That's where that all comes from. So this evening, basically, and you say to me, "Stephen, it's 25 to 8 after a long day, you've presented us with all these words. What are you doing?" Well, let me try and approach this actually in a very simple way, if I can do that. Basically, when Christians think about the millennium, they, at one very general level, divide it into two camps, okay? There are those who are called the millennialists, who basically believe that there is, give or take a little bit, basically a literal 1,000 years. That's the millennialists. They believe that this is to be taken literally. There's a 1,000-year period. And there are others who are called amillennialists who believe it's not to be taken literally. It's a symbol. It's a picture. Now, life is never entirely straightforward, and so just to complicate things, the millennialists, those who believe that the 1,000 years is by and large to be taken literally, it divides into two groups again, post and pre. And so I thought that tonight it might be sufficient for me just to try in some way to give you a flavour of what these different positions are. I was nearly tempted to say there, and then you can make up your own mind. Not quite. Well, I do want you to make up your own mind under God and as you study Scripture. But that's probably as far as we'll go at this evening. So it's maybe slightly different in that sense. So let me begin by saying something about post-millennialism. And I don't want to complicate this, and I don't want this to come across like a lecture. At the end of the day, I am still a pastor called to preach. So hopefully the spirit of preaching will come through this as opposed to some interesting lecture. Post-millennialism, the key to understanding it is in the word itself. Christ, these people believe that Christ will return post, which just means after. So Christ will return after the millennium. So the millennium will happen and then Jesus Christ will return. This is a very interesting view. I don't know if any of you have read much about it. I'm sure some of you have and some of you haven't. But this, it's a very optimistic view. And people who are post-millennialists, they believe that Jesus is coming. But they believe that before Jesus comes, there is going to be an extended period of 1,000 years, almost like a golden age, where the gospel will really advance in wonderful and amazing ways. And through the preaching of the gospel and the saving work of the Holy Spirit, many, many hearts will be won for Christ. And the gospel will make significant advances in our world. In many ways, it's built simply, actually, on the teaching of Jesus, the Great Commission, where he commissions people to go into the world, to preach the gospel to all nations and to make disciples of all nations. So postmillennialists believe that there will be a period where there is almost what we might term a Christianization of much of the world. And at the end of this, Jesus Christ will come back and there will be the judgment and the ushering in of the new heavens and the new earth. It's interesting that this was the view of a man of Jonathan Edwards, not Jonathan Edwards, the athlete from our age, but Jonathan Edwards, who was really a great man of God and a great theologian, way back in the 18th century. And in Jonathan Edwards' heart, he longed for the gospel to spread and believed that there would be a day come when it really would spread and make major advances. This view actually also, interestingly, a little bit nearer, but still quite a bit away. In the 19th century, so in the 1800s, there was a great missionary movement. And some of the missions that we think of people like Hudson Taylor and all of these people who were going out into the world. Actually, there was post-millennialism was really popular at that stage. And in many ways, I don't know whether it gave rise to this missionary movement or because of the missionary movement, it gave rise to this kind of thinking. But the 20th century has seen a decline in this view, and here we are in the 21st century. There's a little picture. I would need your glasses to see that, but hopefully you can see basically what it is. So you can see. I'm saying to you about glasses. I can hardly read it actually, but it's. Basically, it's this age that from the resurrection of Jesus until the coming again of Jesus, there is a period, and then towards the end of that period, there is this millennium, this period where the gospel really goes forward in an amazing way. So I don't know what you make of that, but that is what the post-millennialists believe. So I'm going to leave that with you. But So I've spoken a wee bit about what the post people believe. So Christ comes post the millennium, after the millennium, premillennialism. It's a very interesting and actually a more complex model and understanding, because again, it actually divides into another two. So basically, this model believes that Christ will return before. Christ is going to come before the 1,000 years. And where this view comes from, and if you have your Bible open, and again, I want you to understand where these things are coming from. And in some ways, it's very easy to explain to you where this is coming from. People who are premillennial will have just read chapter 19 of Revelation. And chapter 19 of Revelation ends with a great climactic battle, and if you like, the coming of Christ, and you can see that, and we've touched on that. And premillennialists read these chapters as following each other in a chronological order. So as 9 o'clock follows 8 o'clock, and 10 o'clock follows 9 o'clock, so chapter 20 literally follows in time chapter 19. And so chapter 19 is speaking about, if you like, the coming of Christ. And then chapter 20 speaks about the binding of Satan for 1,000 years. And so premillennialists, and in this sense I can understand where people are coming from, they are saying, well, Christ comes and then you've got the 1,000 years. Can you see that? That's where the people are coming from. They see the events of Revelation 20 following the events of Revelation 19 in a chronological way. Christ will rule on the earth, and at the end of this 1,000-year period, Satan, who has been bound, will be set loose, and there will be an ultimate battle, and he will be defeated, and this will be followed by the final judgment and the new heavens and the new earth. Again, and hopefully you can see that. Can you actually see that? Just about. It's a picture of what has been called classic premillennialism or historic premillennialism. And let me just explain what you're seeing there. You're seeing the period from the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and then there's a little part called the Great Tribulation, okay? So a really intense period where things get really difficult for the church. And then there is the rapture, the secret rapture of believers. And then they all come back, and there's a period of 1,000 years. So can you see that? That's classic, historic premillennialism. And it's interesting, actually, that some highly renowned Scottish Presbyterians believe this. People like Andrew Bonner. And I also believe Robert Murray McShane. And you'll be saying, well, if Robert Murray McShane believed it, then we should all believe it. Well, not quite. But men like that believed this. That's what they believed. And fair enough. But I also, to be fair to this whole thing, want to mention that there's another form of premillennialism. And I don't know whether you've heard much of this before or whether it's been preached on, but it's called dispensational premillennialism. And that is a bit of a mouthful for 7:45 on a Sunday evening. I don't know if you know much about dispensational theology, but dispensational theology divides the history of the world into different dispensations, different ages. We are, according to dispensationalists, in the age of grace. And it's a very, very popular view amongst our brethren friends. Many of them, if not most of them, will be dispensationalists. And what I am explaining to you now is basically what people like that believe. So let me show you another little image here. I'm now regretting not making this bigger, but I'm hoping that you can see that. Dispensational premillennialism. Let me just talk you through the bottom image just for a moment. And I think you do find this of some interest. So you've got the cross of Christ, and then you've got the age of the church. Okay. And then you have the secret rapture. And you will have heard this belief. Maybe you actually believe this. You will have read books about it, that at a particular moment, the Christian believers will be secretly and instantaneously snatched away from the earth. This view believes that after that happens, there will be a period of 7 years. We haven't the time to go into where that comes from, but there's a period of 7 years, tribulation, and then Armageddon, and then Christ returns, if you like, again. So it's important for you to see that with this view, Christ actually comes twice. The second coming, if you like, is something that happens twice. There's a secret coming, but there's also then the very public coming. And then after that, there is a period of 1,000 years. And then there's a short little period where Satan really is set loose. And there's this ultimate battle, a different battle from Armageddon, another battle between Christ and Satan, and then the judgment and the end. So I don't know what you make of that. And again, I'm just trying to be fair tonight. I'm just trying to lay out before you these different views. This view down at the bottom, the dispensational idea, it actually, believe it or not, it did not exist until the 1800s. And the man who introduced it to the church was a man called John Nelson Darby, who was a Church of Ireland clergyman. And he became unsatisfied with the established church, and he founded the Christian Brethren. And John Nelson Darby was the one who really promoted this idea. As I say, it didn't actually exist before that. It was also greatly promoted by a man called Scofield, who wrote the Scofield Reference Bible of 1909. And that, especially in the United States of America, became hugely important and influential. And this view of the end times is certainly popular within, on this side of the Atlantic. It is incredibly popular on the other side of the Atlantic. In fact, it is no exaggeration to say that this particular view of the end times is so popular amongst Christians and in the United States of America, it actually has and I think still influences American foreign policy in the Middle East. and particularly with regard to the state of Israel, because this view believes that the millennium will have its headquarters in Jerusalem. So Christ will literally reign in this world from Jerusalem. His headquarters will be in Jerusalem. And so if you believe that, you will have a very great interest in what's going on in Israel. And in fact, as I'm saying, one of the reasons that the United States of America is so pro-Israel, and there are actually different reasons, is because of the influence of powerful Christian people who believe this dispensational position. And this view teaches that Christ will one day set up his reign in Jerusalem, and so Israel must be protected. And I don't know whether that's a revelation to you to hear that, or to give you a wee insight into how this view and these views can influence our world. I don't know what you make of all of that. Many, including myself, and I'm talking particularly about the dispensational side, I have serious misgivings about that position on a number of counts. I hope you'll still speak to me after saying that. So tonight, really, I'm simply laying out these different positions. So there are the millennialists who believe in a 1,000-year period, and they divide into these different groups. There are others, amillennialists, who are not convinced that it's to be taken literally. This view, the amillennial view, reads the numbers in Revelation as symbolical. And you will know that, if you've been listening carefully, that this is the way that I have been reading Revelation. For example, the 144,000. I don't believe that there's just 144,000 in heaven. I believe that there are many, many more. The number seven, the message to the seven churches. It's symbolical of something perfect, something representing much more than just literally seven. So for the amillennialist, the mention of 1,000 years is symbolical of the period between the first and the second comings of Christ. And according to this view, actually, we are in the millennium. This view does not read Revelation in a chronological way, as in chapter 4 is followed by chapter 5 is followed by chapter 6, in the same way that 9 o'clock comes after 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock comes after 9 o'clock. As I've been trying to teach this particular view, that Revelation can also be seen as a series of parallel pictures presenting essentially the same message, but in pictorial form. This particular view believes that after the first coming of Christ, Satan is bound during this age when the gospel spreads through the nations, and this binding will end shortly before Christ's second coming. And I hope to say a little bit more about that next Sunday night, God willing. Amillennialists believe that the second coming of Christ is a single event, that there's not actually a number of second comings, even if one of them is secret, that the second coming of Christ is actually one event. And once he comes, time is ended, and we are into eternity. When Christ returns, we do believe that there will be a rapture of believers, but not a secret rapture. Yes, a snatching up of believers. And then the final judgment. I think it's fair to say that this is a common view amongst Presbyterians. I can't speak for all Presbyterian ministers, nor would I try to. And there may well be Presbyterian ministers, if you're interested in that, who subscribe to different viewpoints here. The Confession of Faith has no position on the millennium. If you are interested in, and there's a, well, there's a little picture of the amillennialist present age. We're in the millennium, and then Christ returns, and we're into eternity. If you're interested in following this up from a particular perspective, well, I'll be honest with you, all of these books are taking an amillennialist perspective. Anthony Hoekema, The Bible and the Future, William Hendrickson, More Than Conquerors, and The Momentous Event by William James Greer, the late father of John Greer, who ran the evangelical bookshop in Belfast. And actually, William Greer's book is a very helpful little book for any younger person or somebody who doesn't want anything too heavy, but just really giving it at its basic. Well, it's 5 to 8. I have been assuming, you know, over the last 20 minutes that you have been listening. I think of the little cartoon of a minister looking down at people, and they're rather, I think they are half sleeping, and he's looking at them and he's saying, you know, it's really only faith that lends me to believe that you actually really are listening. So, you may know the story of the people who were discussing these matters, and they were talking about post-millennialism and pre-millennialism and amillennialism. And one person at the end says, you know what? I'm a pan-millennialist. They all kind of looked at him and wondered, what do you actually mean? Well, I believe it'll all pan out in the end. And, you know, maybe that's what you feel, and maybe you feel, well, you know, I don't know. I would encourage you as a pastor to search the scriptures, to read Christian material. And yes, I've been one enough to say, read the different viewpoints if you're really interested in these things. And come to a view that you believe is biblical. But even more important than that, because you know, I have known and you have known people who maybe get caught up in these things. And they actually become, dare I say, obsessed with these things. And they have all these charts. And I've seen the charts. And they spend an awful lot of time pondering them. But they don't really get on with living for Jesus. And that's a mistake. I remember a man years ago who was really so obsessed with these things. In fact, he stopped working because he was so obsessed, and he believed that Lord was just about to come back. And he talked just about these things. And really, he lost his way in many ways. And that is so possible with these things. So I think we need to be wise. And I do want to finish just by reminding you of the text that I spoke to the young people about this afternoon as one of the things that they ought to remember, as we remember many things. And I leave this with you as I finish. I brought to their attention the words of Matthew chapter 24 and verse 44, where the Lord Jesus said this: so you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. What a tragedy it would be if anyone was so obsessed with some of these issues that they actually forgot the main thing, and that was to be ready by grace through faith in Jesus. So make sure you're ready. And then under God, spend appropriate time looking at these things and coming to a view. But most of all, be ready and go out into this new week to live to the glory of the King who's coming back. Let us pray. Father in heaven, there is a sense in which these things can be interesting, and we do pray that you would help us to be wise as we think about them. But Lord, help us not to be so taken up with some of these things that we forget the main things. Lord, grant that we are all ready, saved by the grace of God, and grant that we will all go out into this new week to live for Jesus at home and at school and at work and wherever we are and whatever we do. Lord, hear our prayer and lead us in your way. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen.